OpenAI has just announced that their voice cloning technology only needs 15 seconds to clone your voice. They made a whole blog post about this, and I want to break down exactly what this means. We're seeing, you know, a bunch of articles from a bunch of different news sources, The Verge and everyone else, TechCrunch, everyone, covering what's happening in the story. I want to break it down. So in their blog post, essentially the thing that, okay, there's a couple things, something that bothers me and then something that I think is interesting. First off, technology, interesting, amazing. I want to break down the use cases because I've actually used this with a bunch of different partners and seen some pretty impressive results, including some companies you probably didn't know are using this and that you probably know of. I'll get into all of those. The other thing I wanted to cover, though, that is kind of annoying to me is that the whole verdict of this article is, and I'll just cut to the punch right now, they say that this is not going to be broadly deployed. But they're just kind of like bringing this up for public safety and to try to like let everyone know. Now, the thing that's annoying to me about this is they're acting like they're doing this like really noble thing. Like, look, we're not releasing the technology because we don't want to get it in the wrong hands and have all these bad, you know, side effects of cloning voices. When it's like, okay, but 11 labs for like the last 6 months to a year. No, I think at least a year has been able to clone your voice with 30 seconds of audio. And I don't know, maybe 15 seconds works, but I mean, 15 seconds, 30 seconds, as if it makes that much of a difference. So in my opinion, it's not like this big, huge, new, noble thing that they're doing. So that's the only thing that I want to act like. They're acting like they're the only people doing this when obviously there's other people that are doing this quite well. So So there's the voice cloning aspect, and then there's, of course, the voice aspect, which is impressive. They have an API to this. I'll get into all of it. So the big thing they're saying here is that they're committed to developing safe and broadly beneficial AI. And this is kind of in their OpenAI charter, and that's kind of like one of the big bullet points. It's like broadly distributed benefits. They have a like paragraph about using, you know, broadly making that all of their AI good for everybody, right? So that's kind of their idea here. That now they're saying, of course, they can do this in 15 seconds. It's amazing. They actually first developed Voice Engine in 2022, at the end of the year. But this is something that people have had access to. It's not like completely new. So they have a couple different ways that you could actually use this. They have an API. You've probably, if you have the ChatGPT app, or you've seen that you're able to like talk to it, right? And it can talk back to you. So they have a bunch of different voices, and those voices are included in the app. But also they have an API. So I'm going to give you a sample of what those voices sound like. They have a handful of voices, and I just want you to be able to hear them so you can see how, I guess, realistic these sound as far as just synthetic voices. You give it text and it can spit out this voice.
The sun rises in the east and sets in the west. In the heart of the city, there is a large park. The library is a quiet and peaceful place.
The train chugged along the tracks.
In the kitchen, the aroma of freshly baked bread.
The beach was a popular spot on a hot summer day.
Okay, so they have those six voices, which in my opinion are all really good, high quality. And these are all available through their API. So if you're a software developer, you're building a product, like you can embed this into your product. They got an API. It's all set up for developers to go. So you can imagine this has been used in a number of places. But what's kind of new is now that they're talking about voice cloning. This is something that 11 Labs has been doing for a while, but it's not something that a lot of other places have been really doing. So I think it's kind of impressive that they're coming out, but also it's like they probably could have done this earlier because 11 Labs has been doing it for a long time and has 29 languages currently on their platform. So, you know, 11 Labs is obviously kind of the power user, big player here. I'd tell everyone to go use them for this kind of stuff. Now OpenAI is like, hey, we have the capability, but we're not going to release it because we don't want to be dangerous, even though, you know, it's like very widely available. Okay, the other thing I wanted to get into is the fact that this all happened back in 2022 when they had their whole like, when ChatGPT essentially got the ability to see, hear, and speak, and, you know, is able to talk and stuff. So they had a lot of these things kind of built into it. And then they, you know, essentially, if you talk to it, it can respond back. This is a little sample of the audio, but it's similar to the other stuff I showed.
The story about the super duper sunflower hedgehog named Larry.
Okay, they had this whole spiel on when they did this big announcement. In any case, what they're using it for today, this is what I want to get into because there's a handful of areas and a handful of companies and partnerships they've made that I think are interesting and impressive. So the first one is the fact that they are using this for providing reading assistance. Really, so this is for children that are unable to read. They're able to, you know, help them have a solid, have a good voice that's interactive and interesting, right? So it's just like a voiceover voice that can read their games or their stories or them using educational companies. They partnered with Age of Learning. That's a company that's helping to do this. So here are two examples of the actual audio that they use for this clone feature. So I'll play you, oh, and the cool thing here is that it translates into different languages. That's, I guess, the big thing. So I'll play you a snippet of the referenced English audio, and then I'm gonna show you the audio it was able to generate.
Force is a push or pull that can make an object move, stop, or change direction. Some of the most amazing habitats on Earth.
Okay, so that first one there was like just the audio that they gave it to train the 15 seconds, and based off of that, they were able to make all of these kind of educational clips.
Earth are found in the rainforest. This story has been told and retold for thousands of years. Salt also makes sure we stay hydrated, which means there is enough water in our body for it to properly function.
So in my opinion, this, yeah, it sounds exactly like the reference audio. So really good job on doing that. And I can see some big benefits. So here's the big surprise that I think not a lot of people know about. And that is that HeyGen, which is a very viral tool, essentially you can take a video of you talking and then it turns it into, you know, it essentially creates like an AI avatar and then it can make you talk in any language, but it's the whole video and audio. I actually thought that they were doing it all themselves. I didn't realize they were just using this connection. I guess they got like early access to this OpenAI feature. So for those that don't know HeyGen, it's a great platform. Highly recommend checking it out. It's useful for a lot of things. I think for the enterprise, people are using this because you can make like talking head videos super easy. It's quite good as far as a platform goes. Give it like a minute or two, I think, of yourself talking in a video, and then it can just generate a clone that has your same voice, but you can talk in any language. And very, very useful tool. So using HeyGen, there's a bunch of different clips that have gone viral. I think one recently of like the president of Argentina talking at United Nations summit. And of course, typically you get like a voiceover for these things, which doesn't sound anything like the actual president, and it just feels kind of disconnected. Then HeyGen had this clip where it translated into all the languages, and it was kind of interesting because you felt like you could listen to it in his own voice. So that was interesting, and that I think kind of went viral and brought it up. So I want to show you some reference audio, and then essentially someone's voice, and then what their voice sounds like in different languages based off of what OpenAI has done here. So here, the first one will be the reference voice, the rest will be other languages.
Friendship is a universal treasure. It brings joy, support, and laughter into our lives, no matter where we are in the world.
La amistad es un tesoro universal. 友谊是一种普遍的财富. 无论我们身在世界何处.
Freundschaft ist ein universeller Schatz.
L'amitié est un trésor universel.
友情は普遍的な宝物です.
Okay, so there we literally just had Spanish, Mandarin, German, French, and Japanese all from one, 16-second clip of reference audio. Really, really impressive. That's what they're doing with HeyGen. So the other company that they're currently partnering with that I think is fantastic is called Demangi. So this is an organization that essentially is helping to improve essential service delivery in remote settings. This is something that like they're helping with medicine and education and other things to people, but it's in very remote locations. So they are able to take, for example, some reference audio in Swahili and Shang. These are languages that are hard to get voiceovers for and other things a lot sometimes, and it's kind of remote. Anyways, they were able to take some Swahili, and then they generated some informational info about nutrition, vitamin A, and breastfeeding based off of that. I'll just show you those three clips real quick.
Ile kazi ambayo inafanywa kwa umakini sana sana hapa. Lishe bora ni muhimu katika kuhakikisha. Ukosefu wa vitamini A katika lishe ya mtoto unaweza.
Yeah, so it's honestly really impressive. They're able to essentially clone the voice, and you can see some obviously like very great use cases that are very beneficial to the world based off of this. The other one that I think is quite interesting here is supporting people who are non-verbal. So there's a bunch of therapeutic applications for individuals with conditions that essentially affect speech and educational enhancements, or they have learning needs. So Livevox is an organization that is currently helping with this issue, and they partnered with OpenAI to essentially address this. So essentially, someone was giving them a clip of themselves speaking, and they're able to use this to create, you know, multiple languages.
As a bilingual individual fluent in both English and Portuguese, excuse me, can I get your attention? Thank you for your help. Can we watch a movie tonight?
So there you'll hear like the audio was obviously kind of clipped and stopped. And I think this is because the way that these users will be using this is they'll pick a voice that sounds kind of similar to their own or that they, you know, relate with. And instead of having to use a really robotic voice for something like this, they pick that and they are able to type out commands or prompts or, you know, things that they frequently say and have, you know, a little speaker that can say this on their behalf. So really, really cool. One other use case that they've been using this for is helping patients recover their voice. So there's actually a lot of people that are suffering from sudden voice loss or degeneration conditions for their speech. So the Norman Prince Neuroscience Institute at Lifespan is actually helping people with this. They've partnered with OpenAI to come up with a solution for this. So I'll play you three clips. Essentially what happened, and to give you an idea of how this will be used, the first clip is what the patient currently sounds like. Essentially they had, rapid degenerative speech, and so their voice degenerated, and so I'll show you what their current voice sounds like. And then what they were able to do is go find a video of that same girl. She was giving like a school presentation, and they were able to take 15 seconds of that school presentation and train. So now when she wants to talk or send a message or talk with people, she's able to essentially use this new voice. You can use voice filters too, and this will be probably something more common in the future. Now, for example, like with a phone call where she could be talking and it will just be translating to how her voice used to sound. You could probably see some like negative sides of that, right? Hackers, spammers, cloning your loved ones' voices and calling you and it sounds just like them. So that is definitely the downside. But you can also see the upside with people that have lost their voice. So I'll show you three clips. First one will be her current voice. Second one will be the video that they trained off of. And the third one will be what they were able to actually generate her speaking.
Hi, everyone. This is what my voice sounds like using open.
When you have all of your ingredients together, you are going to put the chopped broccoli and chopped banana peppers inside the bowl and... Hi everyone, this is what my voice sounds like using OpenAI's new text-to-speech model called Voice Engine. I was able to use just 15 seconds of a video that I made for a class project to be the reference audio source for the voice you hear right now. What do you think? Can I please have a number one with large fries and with a strawberry shake?
Okay, so yeah, that was all what they were able to recreate of her voice. You can imagine for these people, this is something that they would love, especially as if speaking is difficult. So at the end of all of this, OpenAI says that, you know, in order to use this, all these people have to follow their usage policy, which their usage policy, they have like kind of a universal usage policy. There's four main points. I just want to refresh you on them if you haven't heard them. First one is comply with applicable laws. Yep. The second one is don't use our service to harm yourself or others. Very broad and generic, but I guess it's just kind of like, you know, protecting themselves. Third, don't repurpose or distribute outputs from our service to harm others. Okay, again. And then the fourth is, of course, respect our safeguards. Don't circumvent safeguards or safety mitigations. Okay, unless supported by OpenAI. So unless you're like red teaming or something, they don't want you to get around their safeguards. That's their policy. And I mean, I guess policies don't do too much other than if they catch you breaking them, then they can kick you off the platform. So looking ahead, they have four things that OpenAI, after doing all this research and doing this and kind of releasing this, they have four main takeaways they want people to start thinking about. The first thing I'll say before we get into those is that they kind of act like, you know, this is like, oh, this big new thing and you don't know this technology was possible, when this is very possible. So I don't know, that's just my bone to pick, but I'll get past that. The four things they say first is that they are pushing for a phasing out of voice-based authentication as a security measure. Okay, this makes a lot of sense for accessing your bank accounts and other sensitive information. You should be able to like use your voice. This is definitely a no-go as it's very easy to clone. Second, they want people to start talking about exploring policies to protect the use of individuals' voices in AI. So like, can we use someone's voice? Can't we? What does that look like? I mean, honestly, it's pretty easy to steal and clone, but like, Yeah, whatever. And to be honest, I've actually thought about this before because so my first software company was SelfPaws, and it's an AI life coach. And we have a bunch of like recorded affirmation meditations on there. Now, when I got the voiceover person to record these, I got them to record a bunch of them. It was awesome. But the way that it works, right, is we're always, you know, creating more content. So we would inevitably write like new batches of affirmations for new categories, and I would reach out to the same people, and sometimes they're too busy. You know, I've had cases where they just would never respond, and I couldn't get a hold of them or find them anymore. And it's like such a bummer because I just essentially have to delete their entire library of audio, because that's like you kind of need to have a consistent voice throughout the whole thing. So this was kind of a big bummer. We lost, you know, it wasted a lot of money and had to delete some voices that people loved because there wasn't they weren't able to consistently be across our whole library. And we just had to keep paying new people to re-record the entire thing. Okay, so in my mind, I was like, oh man, wouldn't it be cool? I could just like throw their voice into like 11 Labs, get them to get their voice to do the readings. I never did it because I was like, well, that's kind of sketchy. And, you know, you'd probably want to get them to sign something saying you could do it and yada, yada. So there's kind of that aspect of it. And I couldn't get in contact with them. So I just had to let it slide. But this is what they want to talk about. And I think that it's a very good point because, of course, bad people can clone your loved one's voices. But like there's a lot of great use cases like the one I mentioned where, you know, assuming this was a well-known technology, I wouldn't go in the future and get someone to record this massive library for me. I'd be like, hey, I like your voice. And actually 11 Labs is a marketplace where you can do this. So this is not really an issue anymore. But theoretically you could be like, hey, I like your voice. Give me 15 seconds of it. We'll sign some documents and I can use it for, you know, X, Y, and Z purpose and perpetuity. And like you get some sort of fee for it. So you kind of work out deal structures that way. OpenAI wants people to start talking about that. The third thing is educating the public in an understanding the capabilities and limitations of AI technology, including the possibility of deceptive AI content. Okay, pretty much they're saying hackers, spammers, cloning people's voices that you know and trying to trick you. They want you to start talking about that. And then finally, the fourth thing is that accelerating the development and adoption of techniques for tracking the origin of audiovisual content, so it's always clear when you're interacting with a real person or AI. What they say here is that they, you know, and you know, safety is great and everything. So they're recommending, they're like, especially in an election year, people could be cloning politicians' voices. They want to have like a policy where like you can't clone. And I think they actually have this. You can't clone like politicians' voices, for example, and you know, have them saying fake things that they didn't actually say. It's going to be really tricky in the future when there's like, you know, bombshells or you know, there's some politician said something on a hot mic and it's like, was this just some, you know, their opposition trying to sabotage them with AI, or did this actually happen? And so I think this is probably going to be something that we hear more of in the future. OpenAI apparently is quite aware of this and concerned about it. So they actually, I think, have a list of blacklisted voices where you can't use now. I don't know. They're, in my mind, like if I'm a spammer or hacker, I'm sure I could think of plenty of ways to get around this. For example, let's say I want to clone Donald Trump's voice and have him say something outrageous. I probably could take his voice, make it 10 pitches higher, train a voice to do that, and then get when it gives me the audio back, I put it back in my audio editor and just put it down 10 pitches again. And I'm assuming that that would get past their like voice checker stuff. So like, yes, it's, I don't know. I'm just like dubious that any of this is actually going to work. I'm just dubious. It's always a cat and mouse game. So I don't know. They won't let you generate Donald Trump or Obama's or Biden's voices, but like, or Putin or whatever, but like, people are going to be able to do it. And then open source models and other people will make it. So inevitably it's going to be a possibility. I don't think like, I'm good for them, I guess, for doing that. But it's just like, at the end of the day, I think it's irrelevant because it's, people will get around it. So that's the first thing. The second thing they have is watermarking voices. Now, I have some opinions on this. First off, when it comes to watermarking, if it's an obvious watermark and it's like, this is a voice engine voice, like obviously that's ridiculous because then you can't use it for anything useful. So I think they're going to kill that. More likely what they are saying when they're saying that they're adding watermarks is that there's imperceptible sounds that they will add into the audio file that a human ear can't hear. But if you run it through a system, it'll be able to detect and pick up that this is generated by AI. They've done similar things with images where they can generate like Dolly, all the images that Dolly generates. They put little pixels in there that just look normal to you. But if they run them through a scanner, it can pick them out, and it's essentially a watermark. They know that it was generated by Dolly. So I think they'll do that again. There's probably ways to get around it. You can probably change the pitch and tempo and, I don't know, do some stuff to kind of try to alter the audio so that it won't be detectable. So I think it's going to be interesting. But what probably is useful is if they have those watermarkings like embedded into their API, then you, and let's say a hacker calls you using the, trying to use the API to trick you with like a voice, and you had some sort of AI detection software on your phone, it could probably detect it. I don't know. These are all future problems, but they're thinking about them. They're talking about them. This is a cat and mouse game 100%. And there'll be, of course, new models coming out that can do this that won't have all the safeguards. So, you know, but I guess good for them for doing them. So at the end of the day, amazing technology, super interesting. I'm going to keep you up to date on everything happening in this space with this new OpenAI announcement. But I hope that you all have an amazing rest of your day. If you enjoyed this episode, please, please, please give us a review, write us a comment, subscribe, like, wherever you're finding this on YouTube or Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Really, really appreciate you tuning in, and I hope that you have an amazing rest of your day.